You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
So what are you smoking, Brad? Got another two cigar episode for you?
Yeah, so I stepped it up from the standard punch. Now I'm going with the Punch Deluxe. This is, for folks that don't know, you know, another one of those classics. It's just a step up from the traditional punch, sporting a Connecticut broadleaf Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with...
I also have Sumatra over here.
Of course you do. But, you know, I got a Churchill. What do you got?
I've got a Toro of the My Father Jaime García Reserva Especial Successor. This thing is Nicaraguan fillers, binders with a Sumatra wrapper. But this comes in two different sizes. You either get the Toro with the Sumatra or you get a Torpedo with the Habano.
And yeah, and I've
got the Sumatra.
So yeah, this cigar internally consists of tobaccos from Nicaragua, Honduras, and the Dominican. I'm going to say off the bat here, you know, it's starting at a nice medium. They say that depending on the palate, this can go anywhere from the medium to full. You know,
words, man.
Yeah,
words.
I forgot my words. Very earthy, very cedar-like. You know, just a little bit of sprinkle of black pepper every now and then. Just a delicious, you know, type cigar. If this wasn't a Churchill, I would say I would start every day with one of these.
Yeah, with a Churchill, you got to have a little bit of time. So far in this one, I'm getting a little nutty, some like almond, a little chocolatey, and I'd say coffee notes so far. And this is kind of more on the medium plus size, but, I mean, I've not really had a bad My Father cigar. I mean, not a cheap brand usually, but they make some good shit. So speaking of good shit, and successors, this week we're going to be talking about Beetlejuice, or Beetlejuice 2, however you want to note it. I figure we start the spooky season off with a semi-spooky movie.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this is definitely one, if you're fans of Beetlejuice, I would absolutely say go see it. Not going to spoil it this early on into the episode, but, you know, I found it quite enjoyable as a fan of the original Beetlejuice. I think that was produced in, what, 1987?
Something like that. And if you've got to travel the realms of the undead, you should call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Comes in little tiny tin pouches, not included with a handbook for the recently deceased, but you can probably get that off of Amazon. And with that, we're going to say his name a third time and travel to the underworld. Be right back. And welcome back to the show.
Spooky season.
It's finally here. The one time a year when I can buy house decor because it's fucking Halloween all the goddamn time here.
You don't have Amazon Prime? No, I'm kidding.
Dude, we spent 2 hours in a fucking spirit Halloween the other day.
I mean, we went yesterday and probably spent a good hour. And we even ventured over to Party City, and dude, I'm kind of sad in a lot of ways. Like, it was really, like, I remember going to Party City, and I mean, dude, they would be doing custom wigs and masks and, like,
yeah, they
literally
have, like, a whole aisle of, like, Halloween shit.
And now it's like, here's some stuff off the shelf, you know? And it's not even the full store. Maybe they're still setting up or something, but, like, dude, I don't know. And even, like, with Spirit, like, maybe it's just that particular location, or maybe we're too early in the season, but I was like...
Or it's got the initial hit, and now they're having to restock. Like, the second wave is not... Either they haven't fully set up, or the second wave of shit has not made it in yet.
But, you know, like, there was a lot of cool stuff. Like, I feel like the push is to compete with, like, the Home Depots with, like, the animatronics. Like, I'm starting to see more and more animatronics being a thing.
Yeah, because both... I haven't been to Home Depot yet this year, but they've got some crazy, like, you know, home of the 12-foot skeleton and all the best one that if I had to buy one, it's a haunted band. It's like a band of monsters and skeletons, and it has like pre-programmed music, but it's also a built-in Bluetooth speaker, so you can make the band play whatever music you want.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've seen all kind of videos of people like making them do like fucking NSYNC or metal or some shit. So it's like, you know, it's got like the pre-programmed Halloween songs, but yeah, they'll actually sing and play to whatever music, you know, you're playing through the, through the speakers. So you can make it do all kind of crazy shit.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I did, you know, I had to venture cause you sent me a picture of the little tiny terrors that in person, they were bigger than, you know, what I was imagining for tiny terrors. Because I was like, oh, I could probably put these on my desk or something.
Oh, no, they're the size of, like, an actual baby.
Yes.
I think they had some, like, smaller stuff. But, yeah, those, for some, you know, with a wife that collects haunted dolls, I was like, don't go down that aisle. It's just full of fucking...
The babies eating the hearts and arms and feet
I'm surprised that half of that shit didn't come home with us. I mean, she did, like I said, bring a whole... freaking shopping cart full of shit.
But she makes a lot of her own stuff, though, doesn't she? Or does she typically buy it?
No, she mainly buys it, but she buys it from people who make it on, like, there's a whole market on freaking Facebook Marketplace and shit of people doing these homemade creepy dolls. I even know a few Netherworld guys that make weird doll art now that, yeah, so it's like, it's a whole little cottage industry.
What is it? Cabbage Cat Patch Kids Undead or something? Like,
I don't. Then they had a bunch of stuff to like horror themed plushies too. There was like a nice, like, you know, just Jason.
Yeah, there was a lot of decor type stuff.
Speaking of Beetlejuice, we were going to be talking about this week. They had a remember the first movie when they do the whole Deo, you know, song, it ends with the hand coming up out of the bowl and grabbing them by the face, and it looks like it's like shrimp fingers, whatever. They had like a ceramic, like, serving bowl like that, that had the hand coming up out of it. So it had like, so I was like, I thought it was like one of those like plastic candy bowls. No, but the whole thing was ceramic, including like the big fake hand. And then you could put whatever snacks and shit you wanted in the bowl and had the monster hand coming up out of it.
Hell yeah.
So, yes, as we said, we're talking about Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Just don't say it a third time. You'll be fine.
I said it two in the intro. Now we're at four. Like, so does that mean he's here and now I got to say it two more times to get rid of him?
No, I think you got to say it in succession or something is how that works.
So it's not like cumulative.
No, if that's the case.
It's like he's waiting, like, motherfucker said it twice. Come on, one more. Like, it's like 3 weeks later, you're like, ah, he's like, ah, got you. And like, you said it three times. No, I didn't. Yeah, you said it once in October 2021. You said it in this fucking He's got like a calendar in his office of like who's said what.
The ultimate game of who said it.
And you were close when you guessed 87. Apparently the first movie came out in 1988.
Ah, shit.
So yeah, you were pretty damn close. And in the land of reboots and remakes, we actually get a fucking, what, nearly 20 year later sequel. Not quite 20. Oh, no, it's actually, so yeah, 98, yeah, 30, nearly like 30 year sequel. Math hard.
Yeah. No, there's been a lot of time spanned.
That's kind of like the new thing now. It's like before it was remakes and reboots. Now it's like super late sequels. We've got like, you know, Top Gun. Fucking now we get a second Beetlejuice. I mean,
hey, this thing did a thing and they made money. We got to do that too.
I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, if this is successful, which it so far it appears to be, we get Edward Scissorhands too.
I mean, I guess you could technically.
Oh yeah, it's budget was $100 million. It's already made as of this recording $402 million.
Of course, man. It's so, fucking yeah. Tim Burton. Like, you know that shit was gonna be successful from the rip.
Speaking of Burton, I think it's a Burton movie. That was one of the big animatronics thing. They had the Corpse Bride.
Yes.
And apparently they didn't have the dude, but if they had the dude, the two animatronics would interact and have a conversation.
I don't know. I some of the advancements with the animatronics are pretty cool. You know, like with the art, it had the IR sensors, so as you moved, like the body would kind of rotate like he's, you know, actually rotating next to you or something. And
and that was one of the... Because I think he's got a new movie coming out
Terrifier 3. Yep. Just watched Terrifier 2 again last night. Because I told Rachel, like, whenever it came out, it's like, I'm watching this. And she didn't pay attention. She's like, I never saw this. I can't believe you watched it without me. I'm like, well, it's what I do.
Give you a chance. You don't jump on the chance. I'm fucking watching this shit. Especially with your schedule, it's like, I have very small windows of opportunity. Like, you either jump in my window or you're on your own.
You know, most of the time, like...
What did we do?
Look. Juice knocked down the cigar. He's like, ha-ha, motherfucker.
But I do appreciate... I mean, and we got most of the original cast back, which they didn't include Geena Davis or, was it Alec Baldwin in the first one? But... I think they finally, they did a, I don't know, the first movie really, like, completed their story, where this one was more a Lydia-centric story, and I think having those characters in it would have just kind of...
I think it would have muddled everything.
Unnecessary, yeah, stuff, where this was more of a...
I mean, you know, I enjoyed this film, and like I stated previously, you know, if you're fans of Beetlejuice, you know, by all means, but I guess spoiler alert from here... But for me, the pacing did not seem, you know, as fast or something as the original. Like, that whole ex-wife shit, like, I could have did without any of that. Because, there was just a couple of points where I'm just like, Kim.
Yeah, now that you mention it, and, yeah, but to complete my previous thought, like, one of the things I read about not including... Geena Davis and them was that the fact that it has been 30 years and they were dead in the first movie, so it wouldn't make sense to have their ghosts like have aged 30 years. So it was like we didn't want to have to use like the, you know, fucking CGI de-aging technology.
Oh, come on, everybody's doing it.
And it looks good in like short segments, but the longer you use it, the worse it looks. Because they don't change the voice or anything. Like, Indiana Jones, like there's that, you know, good long segment of young Indy, but it sounds like, you know, old ass Harrison Ford. I mean, you can't de-age the voice very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you go like full, like, you know.
Nah, before long, it'll just be AI.
Yeah. But yeah, we're, now that you mention it, it did seem like the whole, all right, because we have two plots. We have A, Lydia's daughter, Astra, getting duped by a dead guy to try to steal her life. And then there's this whole, like, murder mystery of, like, you know, we get Beetlejuice's origin, that he was married a chick back in the 1700s or something during the plague, who turned out to be a witch, and she was trying to basically sacrifice him, and he ended up killing her before she could complete the ritual and take his soul. And, you know, she has kind of returned and is trying to finish the job. So, yeah, it was like, there was two...
It was a separate, weird love triangle.
It was like two separate plots going on instead
Lydia,
of...
Lydia, you need to marry me, and this crazy bitch that is now well put back together needs to not marry me.
Yeah, that whole her stapling herself back together sequence, though, was was kind of wild. And we got a nice little cameo by, you know, dead Danny DeVito as the underworld janitor, because apparently you still need janitors in the underworld.
I mean, I would think that, you know, you would need more than just one. Like, you should have as many janitors as you do Bobs.
Yeah, we got, like, yeah. Apparently Bob now works for Juice. Juice has his own, like, he's like, yeah, used to be in a solo act. Yeah, I've built up my business of paranormal exorcisms. So now I got a whole staff of guys that all dress like, you know, shrunken head realtors. I think there was a Brad in that group too. They weren't all Bob.
There was.
Bob was just the main
I got
one.
Called out. Luckily, there were only four people in the auditorium that we were in, so we were good. Can I sidebar for just a complete minute?
Sure.
What the fuck is with this assigned seating bullshit at the theaters now?
Yeah, especially like, because, yeah, you got that text. It's like, what the fuck is up with this shit? Like, AMC's been doing it for, like, ever, but we go to, like, a little local theater that has never been full. Like, even though I've gone on, like, opening nights, it's like, fucking, you know, there's plenty of room to, like, pick a seat. But now it's like, oh, where do you want to sit? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And, I had to pick a seat. And then because we went on, like, a Tuesday night. And it's like, we were literally the only people in the theaters. And I'm like, do I really have to, like... And because it shows you what seats have been picked. I'm like, dude, like, it's... The movie starts in 5 minutes. We're the only motherfuckers here. Do I really have to pick a seat? Because I'm going to sit wherever the fuck I want when I get in there. So you assign me three random fucking seats. Because I guarantee I did not look at the seat numbers when I walked in that theater.
Yeah, I'm just like, what? What are we doing right now? I don't know. It was just perplexing. Another thing that, you know. Plus two, goddamn, dude. It was over $50 for an IC and two movie tickets. Like, I'm just, I don't know. Like, me personally, I like my big-ass TV and my sound system at home, and I don't have to deal with anybody.
Yeah.
I already know where I'm sitting.
Fuck
everyone
else. For
most
movies, I could... sit here. I mean, it at this point, if we wait a couple weeks where it goes into like premium rental, it's still cheaper. Like, I can rent a movie for $20 on Prime or YouTube or whatever and watch it here, and it's still with all kind of snacks. I can have a fucking steak if I want while I watch my movie, and it's probably cheaper than going to a theater with like a couple people and getting snacks and drinks and whatnot. It's gotten kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, like...
Where's the old man talk now?
Well, I mean...
Back in my day, I paid $1.50 for a show.
Well, I mean, you know, I could understand back in the day when, you know, you had to set up the reels and, you know, get everything dialed in for the projector screen and what. Now it's literally, oh, I'm pressing play.
It's all fucking digital now anyway. Do you remember the ghetto theater we used to have here? It was, they built a new theater, which has since also been torn down and built another new theater. But back in the day, we had this old-ass theater that only had three screens, but they didn't get new movies. So it was like, if you waited a month or two, the things that were no longer new movies would make it to the ghetto theater, and it was like $1.50.
Yeah, that was the only theater I was allowed to go to. You think my parents are going to give me like $5 to see a movie or something? Fuck no.
Yeah, that was always good too.
Like, in fact, I think the only way I got to go to theaters is if it was with a different family, not my own family.
Yeah, I always liked that little like ghetto theater because it was like, yeah.
But I mean, even
especially if you miss something when it was in theaters, like, oh fuck, I missed, you know, whatever the new hotness was. I'm like, well, let me give it a couple weeks till it
hits
the dollar
theater. Like, you could go on a weekday, you know, before noon and see like $1 or, you know, a few bucks or something like that. Like, it just
because that was back in the day when there was this long period.
Like, that's actually how I got to see RoboCop. Was when it went to the little ghetto ass theater, and I don't know. I was a kid, so I'm like, they just shot that dude in the dick.
Well, that and it, like,
quit trying to cover my eyes. You brought me here.
This was back in the day when there wasn't that. Like, literally, a movie would come out. Here's more old man talk. Then you would have to wait like a long ass period of time for it to then go to rental. And then be on rental for a while before it finally made it to like TV and where you could own it, buy it yourself.
Yeah, but you never wanted watch it on, you know, TV because everything was always edited.
But it used to be like theater, rental, then you could purchase it. Now it's like shit's hitting either streaming or streaming rental, like while things are still in the theater.
I kind of feel like that's
that
gone away
is
though.
Like,
you know,
is really
with the
shortened up.
Now that COVID is not what it once was, and you know, we had to shut the world down.
Yeah, but now things like are hitting that rental like window the second it leaves the theater.
What was the last
right
movie
before
we did? Oh yeah, Romulus.
Yeah, because that one was
like, you know, that one still got like another few weeks before it's available for any kind of streaming or anything. So I kind of feel like, you know, certain studios or whatnot are still trying to keep that, like, we're going to ride this theater train, and then, you know, a month and a half or 2 months, then we'll make it available for digital download or streaming.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, the studios that have a streaming service. If it's something that can be thrown on HBO or Disney, something like that. That window's much shorter because they're like, we need content. Like, hurry up and get it out, get it into the streaming. But anyway, we digress.
Much like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A show that has two subplots.
I will say that it was great to see Michael Keaton taking that helm again, though.
Yeah.
Like, and there needed to be a lot more Beetlejuice in this film. Like, you know, Lydia and whatever, you know, with their drama should have just been on the back burner. Should have been all about the juice.
Oh, yeah, because they could have just done the Beetlejuice running from his ex-wife storyline. That could have been its own whole movie and just been straight, you know, all juice. But instead we get grown-up Lydia, who's now a TV ghost host. Her show Ghost House, where she goes and talks to people's ghosts for them to try.
I forgot
try
what they call those people. Not a psychic.
Medium.
A medium, yeah. Psychic medium, maybe?
Something like that.
I don't know.
But yeah, apparently she, you know, didn't grow out of the I can see dead people phase, and now she's turned it into a whole business. And is like, you know, living in New York, hosting TV shows with her douchebag fucking man bun having producer / boyfriend. And I kind of thought that was funny in that we have Beetlejuice, who very much has, and I've seen Tim Burton and Michael Keaton is like, no, we want to keep the juice. We want to show no character development whatsoever. We want him to be the same non-politically correct guy he was back then, and then just him next to modern day woke douchebag was just it made like the other guy's ridiculousness that much more funny when you see like
yeah
the juice
later fucker.
Oh. Yeah, but then you get the subplot that, you know, Lydia's daughter, you know, runs, you know, they go back to the little town from the first movie because, of course, Charles died in a tragic shark attack. We crashed a plane. He didn't die in the plane. He got ate by a shark. And I appreciate the whole, because they did not, that actor did not return because of, you know, Google him and you'll see why. And they did not bring him back for the sequel. He's had some legal issues. So they do the whole, like, him dying.
How does that not seem like it's supposed to be a laughing matter?
No, it's probably pretty serious. But I do like that they, his, because in the afterlife.
Was he at Diddy parties?
Yeah, pretty much. He's on a registry these days, if you know what I mean.
Not Windows registry?
No. So yeah, he got his head bit off by a shark. So in the afterlife, your body stays however you died. So it's like the body double and voice actor portraying that character is like just a headless corpse walking around through the whole movie. The only time you see his face is on his headstone, and then they do like kind of a flashback explaining how he died, but it's that same old. I like that they brought back the old like claymation animation for that sequence and some of the other sequences from made it look just like the original movie. Like, you know, it's like effects have definitely improved in the last 30 years. You could have gone CGI, but it still looks like old school 80s claymation. And I'm like, that's cool. That's definitely a choice that I appreciated. It definitely kicked me in the nostalgias. I mean, even the fucking sandworms look just as bad as they did in the 80s. I'm like, that's fucking cool. You didn't try to, like, unnecessarily
like polish things. And, yeah. You know.
They
like,
still used mainly practical effects and crazy
but
shit.
But I've gotten to the point now to where, like, it's cool with the advancements of CGI, but I'm more curious to see the ingenuity of, you know, an individual to do things practically more so than I am, you know, a programmer's ability to, you know, make things digitally look.
And I think when you put like limitations on, that's where creativity is born. Like, it's like, all right, you know, I can do anything I want because I have an unlimited budget and fucking CGI masters here. But it's like, all right, here's the money.
CGI
here's what
Jesus.
You have to affect. Figure out what you can do with what you have. And I think that really kind of breeds, you know, more creativity working in the limits of, I like it when they use mostly practical engine, just enhance it with CGI instead of being just full fucking CGI.
I don't know. Then you start getting those weird, like, is this futuristic sci-fi type deal? Or is this... Start getting into that weird animation area that I'm like, eh.
Look at that uncanny valley, which, yeah, Homeboy in Romulus, it was like, when it was the practical, you could tell when it was the practical character and then, like, a CGI character. And it was like, yeah, when it went full CGI, it was like, oh, this is...
Not looking great.
No, but, yeah, when it was, you know, you could tell, like, a practical... more practical thing, it was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. So did you like when she finally goes on like the date with Homeboy, they kiss and, you know, start floating, and I just go, called it, I knew he was a ghost. And Amanda's like, how did you know? I'm like, did you not notice he was wearing the exact same shit, like, all three times she's come and hung out with him? And when they walk through the house, like, I thought either he was going to be dead and his parents were still alive because they didn't pay any attention to him when he came through the house with her, or they were dead and he was alive. And I'm like, oh no, they're all fucking dead, because apparently he's a little serial killer asshole who killed his parents and then fell out of a treehouse running from the cops.
I hate it when that happens. I don't understand, man. Horror movies. Like, why people always gotta be running upstairs and running up trees? You got no way out at that point. No way out.
Oh. So, yeah. We've got Juice trying to hide from his ex-wife and still trying to, like, pull off the whole get Lydia to marry me so I could stay in the real world. Because apparently it's kind of like immigration, you know. You marry an American and you get your visa. You marry the living, you get a life visa.
Or you just recite the, you know, incantation and, you know, trades places.
Yeah, Juice never tried that. He never tried to scam somebody into, like, you know, he's a more honorable douchebag. He's like, you got to marry me. So you get to live, I get to live. I'm not going to try to steal your life like some other, these younger whippersnapper ghosts who are going to scam a poor innocent Jenna Ortega into trading her life. Speaking of which, as we find, because I like we got a lot more of the netherworld or whatever you call it, this kind of death waiting room before you go into your afterlife, whatever it may be.
Take a number.
It's very, like, bureaucrat, like being at the fucking DMV or some shit. But they definitely expanded
like
that.
Even in death, you know, you can't get away from
fucking bureaucrats. Because yeah, the first one, we really only got, like, kind of the waiting room and, like, that one office for the, you know, help desk for the recently dead. Where this one, we got a whole thing, and the thing that takes you to the afterlife is the literal Soul Train. And it's like the fucking Soul Train TV show. They even got a guy who kind of looks like Don Cornelius, who is the conductor of the train. Everybody's wearing, you know, 70s shit, and there's a whole, like, you know, funk dance sequence. I'm like, all right, that's a funny joke. I like that. I appreciate
that. That was always the crazy thing for me, because after your Saturday morning cartoons wrapped up at, like, you know, that 11:30 or noon hour, it immediately went to Soul Train Live.
Yeah. Soul Train. I literally, and whoever they had, like, playing the conductor, I'm like, is Don Cornelius still alive? Spoiler alert, no, he is not. But I was like, is that actually Don Cornelius? And we got a couple new characters this round. We already mentioned Monica Bellucci as Beale Juice's ex-wife. But then we also get, what's his name? Dude from Spider-Man. And
don't say Tom Holland.
No. Who the fuck's Tom Holland? Oh. Anyway, he's playing a detective, but he's actually, like, an actor, and now he's, like, the underworld detective trying to solve underworld crimes. William Dafoe as Wolf Jackson, ghost detective.
If that's not an 80s, you know, trope, I don't know what is, like.
Yeah, so he's trying to, like, you know, and he's got, like, a bunch of, like, looks like fucking guys from Chips as his his underworld cops that are like, we got to keep people from breaking out of the dead zone, and also this crazy lady who apparently you can die in the ghost realm because she's a soul sucker.
You just deflate like a balloon.
And I gotta say, Monica Bellucci is, she damn fine for her age. She does not look like a lady of her age.
Man, it's amazing what you can do with some staples.
Yeah. Oh. And I like the flashback to him, like, telling Bob, like, the whole story of his ex-wife. And it suddenly cuts to, like, since it was, like, Italian in the plague era, it's, like, black and white, and he's speaking Italian, and it's looks like an old, like, you know, fucking make it look like an old Italian movie. I'm like, why the fuck is Beetlejuice speaking Italian and we get subtitles all of a sudden? This is weird, but it kind of works for a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know. That's just like the whole thing, like Beetlejuice being like, I'm going to blow a big ass hole in my wall. Bob, make sure nobody comes in or out. He's like, this would be a lot easier if you didn't just blow a big ass hole in the wall.
Yeah. It's like, because, yeah, as you know,
Like, I can relate to how Bob feels every day.
Yeah, Bob, he's like, you're my body double. If she shows up, you're me. And while she's killing you, I'll run away. Bob's like, ah. Oh. But yeah, then they have the, whatever, jackass, tricks Astrid into going. Oh yeah, like there's a way in this book here that I can get my life back if you help me. But I need a living person to cast the spell, and you'll get to see your dad again. And you know, of course, Lydia figures it all out a little bit too late, and her daughter is already fucked off to the ghost realm. And so she actually has to finally call Beetlejuice and be like, all right, I need your help. And he's like, all right, sign this contract that you'll marry me. Fine, whatever, fuck it. And he's like, yeah, because like the way to get into the underworld, if you have the book and you're undead, is to draw a door. The door opens up. He's like, we're not doing that. So he just draws like a big ass bomb. I'm like, all right, cool. That's a different way. Was it that easy?
Apparently it is.
Yeah. And it's just like, Bob, whatever you do, don't let anyone out. Okay, and as soon as like Juice leaves, or all the other like shrunken head guys are like, "Fuck this, we out."
Guys, come back! I can't take all these calls myself.
Yeah, that is your personal hell. It's like I'm stuck in a call center for eternity. And of course, like your people answering your phones can't talk. That might have been a staffing error on Juice's part.
I mean, but maybe if you're recently deceased, maybe Bob does have a voice.
You can hear him. You can understand the Bob if you're also dead. We just can't understand him because we're
like that's
we're alive.
That's the first.
That sounds like a fucked up idea Burton would have in his like head canon of this. He's like, oh no, everyone can understand the Bobs. It's like, but you're living. That's why you can't understand the Bobs. It's kind of like in Star Wars when everyone understands the Wookiee, but none of us can understand the Wookiee. Dead people's like, oh yeah, that's just a Bob. I'm like, yeah, we understand that. We speak telepathically.
You know, that's the first thing. Call in, get once you make it through the Bobs and they verify you've deceased, then you can come in and,
yes,
you know, sit
sure
down to
prank,
get your number.
A prank call. Oh.
Death is complicated.
I did like the, because if you ever watched the old Beetlejuice animated series, where him and Lydia were like friends and would go on adventures and shit, she always had like a red dress. So when he tries to make good on his plan to marry her, like she's magically changed into this red like wedding dress thing. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like the dress
animated.
From the animated thing.
I didn't catch that originally, but I should have caught it.
Because Amanda has like, and we mentioned her collection of creepy dolls. She has a Beetlejuice and Lydia dolls, and she's wearing the red dress. So when that popped up, she's like, it's the dress, it's the dress. She got like super excited about that.
God, movies would probably be so much more entertaining with friends. But then again, I'm like, all you do is sit there for 2 hours and not saying anything.
And most of it's like
I don't understand why the movies was always a good date idea. Oh yeah, because it was never about the movie.
Yeah, I've not watched so many movies back in the day.
It's like, God damn it, we paid $50 for this shit. We're fucking watching it.
No shit. I mean, for me though, it's like this was a rarity because most of the time I just go see stuff by myself because it's time wise it's easier. You don't have to get a babysitter and shit or find a day off. I can just like, all right, I got time, I'm gonna go see this movie. And then when it comes out on video, I'll watch it again with the wife. But Beetlejuice was one of those like, you're not fucking seeing this without me.
You should have put your foot down. Figure out who really wears the pants in this relationship.
I don't wear pants, I wear a kilt. Or shorts. It's like I'm. As soon as the temperatures hit 70, it's like I'm pants free for the summer.
I don't think the 70s are ever gonna leave. I'm
yeah, I know.
It's gonna be one of those years where it's gonna be 90 on Halloween and not feel natural.
And this is like one that I'm like, I bought a really nice winter coat at Jose Bank or whatever. And it's like, it's not, I bought it like in the summer when it was like a $300 coat that was on clearance for like 40 bucks. And it's like, damn it, it's this jacket looks really good. And it's like, it's not gotten cold enough for me to wear the damn thing yet. I mean, I was like, come on, give me just a couple cold days so I can show off my pimp ass jacket I bought.
Ah, you're so dapper.
Get me a fucking new top hat and my fancy jacket.
Oh. Then we need to find somewhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the haunted houses be open. We gotta try to hit some haunts this year.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah.
Apparently, we just need to find somebody that models cities and just say Beetlejuice 3 times, and that'd probably be a cool haunt.
Yeah, just whoop, shrink down into the model. I think because whatever I've done Six Flags Fright Fest like once maybe, but Disney or Universal has their whatever horror nights, and I think they've done like a Beetlejuice themed, because usually the Universal horror themes are movie-based haunted houses, and I think they have done a Beetlejuice, or I know they've done just about every other kind of whatever the new hotness and horror is. They've definitely done a Stranger Things haunt, and
we need to I always say, hey, I want to check out some different haunts, but they're so far away.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we could, back in the day, we were like, yeah, we could hit 2 or 3 in a night, but now it's like they're all so fucking spaced out. By the time you get to one, it's like, I don't have an hour away to drive to the next one. So it's like, you only get like one a night. It's hard to do the 2 or 3 in a session like we used to.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, hell, there's been plenty of times. And don't get me wrong, like, sometimes waiting in the queue and the lines are half the fun, but, you know, it's like,
yeah, back in the day, we could start early and hit been, 2 or 3.
You know, in line for 2+ hours, you know, spend your 40 minutes or whatever going through the attractions, and then, like, and all the traffic and the fuckery of getting from here to there is going to be another.
And there's not so many kind of small haunts. You used to have stuff like House on Horror Hill, these little, like, local haunts. And now it's like they're all, like, big productions. It's like we don't get so much of the little pop-up haunts anymore, at least not around here.
No, I don't really, you know, outside of some of the local church haunts, that's about it. Like, I can remember, you know, back in the day, like, be like, oh yeah, there's a strip mall, and just, you know, boom, here's a haunt. Oh shit.
Yeah, or like an abandoned house somewhere that, like, you know, it used to be kind of like Spirit Halloween's. Stores closed down, we're turning into a haunt this year. It's,
but nope. Now it's all been demolished and it's parking garages. And
everything's like Hollywood juice. Budget fucking big bank haunts. That's the other thing. We used to hit 3 or 4 haunts and it was like $10 a haunt. Now it's like you're paying $35-$40 bucks
at least per
show.
And now we're both in relationships, so you got to double the price.
Yeah.
Everything doubles.
Yeah, exactly. I think last year I hit what I consider the big three of Atlanta: Netherworld, Folklore, and Paranoia. But
I heard 13 Stories is really good, but it's
a
just...
few times I've been there, I like it. But yeah, that's like fucking nearly 2-hour drive from up here in the north,
from the mountains to the south side.
I've enjoyed it when we went, but yeah, that one's kind of a haul. That and Camp Blood too is always fun, but yeah, that's super long way to go. We'll see if we hit more than the big three this year. I feel if you could almost do Folklore and Paranoia in one night. They're kind of not far from each other, but yeah, it's like Netherworld is way over in Stone Mountain, so that's like a one day trip. You can't really squeeze in a second show out that way.
But my thing too is like, you know, I like being at the haunts 8, 9 o'clock. You know, like, you pull up toward the latter part, you know, the actors are fucking, you know, exhausted or hoarse, you know, from screaming and yelling. But, you know, then again, the thing is, you've missed
the ones that are open during the week too. You can go on like a Tuesday night, and it's like not as crowded, and people are a little
You can
fresher.
Go on a Tuesday night. I can't tell you what the hell I'm doing on a Tuesday night. I can't tell you what I'm doing tonight.
Tacos.
I don't know. No idea. Like,
that's always the answer. But other than trying to finally marry, you know, Lydia, Juice actually kind of the hero of this story. You know, he does help save her daughter and doesn't, you know. And when,
I mean, he's actually pretty forthcoming, like, hey, this is the terms, and like, he's not really trying anything shenanigan or sneaky.
Yeah, it's like, even and we got a return of Catherine O'Hara as Delia Dietz. I do like that they, you know, kind of in the first movie she kind of hated her stepmother, but you see that they've actually kind of had a relationship these 30 years, you know, it's she still thinks she's a weird art lady, but they're like, yeah, we're still like, yeah,
we're cordial.
Yeah, we're still family. And she's like, you know, gone beyond painting and sculpting to now she's doing weird performance art and shit. And she's like, I'm going to turn this whole funeral thing into like a art piece. And then I bought these defanged asps. And then sure enough, gets bit by her non-defanged snakes and dies in her during her live stream and winds up. And when she winds up in the, I can't be dead. Like, oh yeah, lady, you're dead. And she's like, oh, fuck.
No, there's been a mix-up.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And he's like, hey, how you doing, Ma? And she's like, can you help me find my husband? And he's like, cool, if you help me find my future wife, yeah. And, you know, and he gets her out of the dead zone and, you know, takes her to the wedding. Like, he actually helps her out. And even when, like, you know, kind of the key to the whole soul swap thing is it's not permanent until dude gets his underlife passport stamped at immigration. And, you know, kind of the third subplot is like Lydia's first husband died in an Amazon, expedition. And for some reason, even though she can see the dead, she's not been able to see him. And that makes Astra think all this I see dead people stuff is bullshit. And you find out he's there. He's working in the passport office, and, you know, they finally get like a little reunion. But there, he's like, we gotta stop him. And, you know, they catch up to him right as he's getting his passport stamped, and it's like, he's like, ha, too late. And he's like, and then it like he opens his passport and says, shit out of luck. And you look up, and Juice is the guy stamped there. He's like, as what's his name says, like, you know, yeah, go fuck yourself, and like drops him into hell. I forgot exactly what the line was, because, you know, he's like, yeah, like, you know, Nietzsche said or what, you know, and he's like, yeah, yeah, fuck off.
That was the one PG-13 F-bomb.
Yeah, because later on he tries to F-bomb and it bleeps, and like, he got his one. Yeah, go fuck yourself, beep, or fuck off, or whatever it was. I was like, yes. So yeah, Juice held up his end of the bargain. He saved the girl, brought Mom to the wedding. He's like, he's an asshole, but he's like, he's not. He's an asshole of his word. Kind of, you know, like, Juice ain't a bad dude. All right, we good.
So would you kick it with the Juice? Would you spill your guts?
Oh yeah, that fucking
lose your head.
The fucking
off your rocker.
Yeah, when bad boyfriend is like, oh, you're just crazy. And she's like, no, you can't say the name. He's like, I'm doing this for you. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And all of a sudden they're in like fucking couples counseling with Dr. Juice. And he's like, all right, who's going to spill their guts? No one? All right, I guess I'll go first. And just literally spilt his guts. And yeah, homeboy's like freaking out. And he's like, I'm like, this is all a figment of my imagination. I was a figment of my imagination. Can I do this? Dude just faints. And then the creepy, like, baby Juice that pops out of her, that thing was disturbing. Not as disturbing as the alien baby thing, but that was still pretty pretty nasty.
So is that going to be the next thing? It's going to be a prequel, and it's going to be Baby Juice.
I know that the third one is Beetlejuice, 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 and it's the little Baby Juice. Oh. I do like all the... that and two, when they have Charles's funeral, and there's a child's choir singing Deo.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's funny.
Daylight, come on, me want to go home. He say day.
Yep, that's my funeral plans. We need a child's choir to sing sing
Dude,
Calypso music.
My plan is throw me on the funeral fire and keep it moving.
Stuff me full of Tannerite and explode me. Me say de, me say de, me say de.
So anything that you, was there anything you expected or anticipated that this didn't give you?
The one thing that I was like, when Juice shows, you know, they get out of the dead zone, and because Lydia's supposed to marry this asshole at like midnight on Halloween, and Juice, of course, crashes the wedding, and it's like, nope, this is our wedding now, and doses him with truth serum, so he confesses that, like, I'm just doing this for your money, like, I think I'll make more money as your husband than I would as your manager, and I don't have a dead ex-wife, like, I made up all that shit to go to Survivor's counseling thing to pick up chicks. I fully expected that the whole accident with the snakes killing Delia to be his plot. Like, I expected, like, he killed her to, like, you know, get the inheritance by marrying his... And no, that was, like, not... that. She was like, no, I just got scammed. Like, I paid extra for the depoisoned snakes. And
that's why you don't order asp off Temu.
And somebody ripped me off. Like, I fully expected that to be like, oh, yeah, I poisoned her with the fucking snakes. So, yeah, I was like, so he was an asshole, but he wasn't a murderous asshole. But, yeah, I totally expected that to be, like, you know, a fourth subplot that he actually killed Delia.
Yeah. That was a big-ass vial of truth serum, too.
That, and I did like the effect of, you know, the modern day, he's like, oh, everyone I invited to our wedding is like fucking influencers with like big followings and shit, because this is all like a media stunt. And Juice is like, well, I appreciate all y'all coming. Could we have a moment alone? And like everybody gets sucked into their fucking smartphones. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
I like that. I like that modern twist. Like, I hate this shit where like just everything, you know, all the time revolves around the fucking phone.
Yeah, even as, yeah.
I guess because I haven't, you know, breached the tabs of influencer yet.
Yeah, as someone who tries to make fucking YouTube content, it's like, all right, cool, I'm at a thing. I'm going to film like 2 minutes of shit that I can post later, and then I'm putting my fucking phone away. I'm not experiencing this through a screen. There's a band in front of me. I'm going to watch the fucking band.
That's not what you're there for. You're there for the fans. So smash that subscribe and like button and comment and follow below. Yeah.
Exactly. Titties.
Not yet, though. You still got 10 more minutes listening to us ramble. See, that's how you work in a timestamp.
So what about you? Did you... What?
So I...
Was this successful, in your opinion? Was it all you expected, or, like... And I don't know, like you said,
despite the
slow pacing, that,
just the some of the subplots. Like I wanted a lot more of the underworld, of the Juice, of the, you know, gags and gimmicks, more so than I really cared about, you know, Astrid or, you know, Lydia's shit, like, I'm like, one of those subplots would have been fine. Yeah. I didn't need four different ones, like, you know, interwoven. Like, no, just, but at the same time, like, I'm sure that $100 million budget would have been $300 million, you know, trying yeah. to continually do shit with the underworld and that sort of thing.
And, you know, and this was still only like 104 minutes, so it wasn't like kind of the modern theme of everything's got to be a fucking 2-hour movie.
But
I mean,
felt like at times, I'm just like, and part of that is, I'm just realizing it is me in general. Like, you know, I have no work-life balance, so, you know, I'm always pressured and always, you know, feeling like I don't know how to decompress and just fucking unwind and enjoy shit. I'm always like, I gotta get this shit done because I don't know what's gonna happen 30 seconds from now. Joe, I gotta fucking balance. You're on your own. Have fun.
Yeah, and it's...
So I don't know if that was
sitting down and watching it the first time, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. I had a good time. But I also see what you say, and now, like, kind of looking back at it, I mean, we could have had just a movie of Juice and Lydia. We could have had just a movie of the plot of trying to stop her daughter from getting killed. And we could have had a movie of Juice and his ex-wife, her trying to kill him. But the combining of all three of those, kind of like, some of the storylines seem to get less attention than the other storylines. Like, yeah, like, you could have probably deleted the whole ex-wife bit from the whole thing, and it had almost no effect on the storyline. And, you know, because, yeah, she's there, you keep seeing her kill people along the way, and then she shows up at the big stop the wedding thing and tries to kill the Juice, and, you know, Astra saves them, you know, feeds her and the douchebag boyfriend to a sandworm, you know. But yeah, other than
like
that,
I could have seen like if the intent is to not wait another 30 years to do a third film or something, then maybe you would have left some of those as loose ends and been like, okay, like, these are your avenues for that third movie.
Yeah.
Like,
because, yeah, you could have had just, not even had Lydia and them, and that might have been the plan if they couldn't get that part of the cast back, just a Juice and Dolores movie of, like, him, like, you know, running through the underworld trying to keep from getting fucking ganked. But, yeah, it was, you it felt like you could have, like, even just kept the other two plots and just completely, like, deleted that whole ex-wife bit. it seemed unnecessary to the story. But overall, could it have been better? Yes. Was it good on its own? Yes. I like I said, I enjoyed it as a fan of the original
film. I didn't get to do what I originally wanted to. Like, originally I was fucking trying to watch the first film again so it would be fresh, because...
Yeah, I still haven't had a chance to,
dude,
to
it's probably been
review the original.
Over a decade since I last watched it, and
maybe that's what I'll do tonight. I'll find.
You know, I was trying to rent it on YouTube because I was like, "Oh shit, I can, you know, watch this real quick and still have time to finish it before the new movie starts." And fucking Google's like, "No, you must enter your password." I'm like, "I don't know what the fuck the password is. Wait 6 hours while we send you a new one." And I'm like, fuck off. This has already become more difficult than it needed to be.
Hell, I don't know if I have a working VCR. There's probably Beetlejuice on fucking VHS around here somewhere. I would not. My wife's a collector of ancient technologies.
From back in the days when you could actually own a thing.
Yeah. Dude, do you remember what the last, like, physical media you bought, like, movie-wise? Because since now that, like, streaming, it's like, I don't remember the last time I physically bought a DVD. Unless it was something I was just, like, collect, something I wanted, like, to collect.
I don't know. For me, probably Range 15.
That might be it. Like, yeah, it's like some of these, like, little independent films that you can't, like, I think I've bought some of the Kevin Smith stuff, like in the age of streaming, just because, you know, some things get like small releases. It's like, yeah, it's like, I think like CD, the last CD I bought was fucking Cybertronic Spree. And then I realized I didn't have a fucking CD player. It's like, yeah, it's like I've, yeah, not bought physical media in so long.
Yeah. The days of ownership, my friend, are few and far between. Hell, we got entire subdivisions in Dawsonville now that they're just rental houses. Can't even buy the houses. They're just rentals.
Yeah. Shit's fucked up, man. So, what are you thinking of your Churchill there? How's it, I don't think I've had the deluxe. I've done the Classico and just about every other punch.
It's good, man. It's, earthy, it's woody, strong on the notes of cedar. That's probably the most lingering taste that's on my taste buds. You know, just a little bit of touch of spice. For me, definitely more medium than it is full. You know, I know you're a purveyor of punch cigars. You know, the deluxe I highly recommend. You know, it's like the classic, but just, you know, turned up a couple of notches just to add some complexity.
Yeah, I think the successor here, it says it's medium full. It's more toward that medium side for me. But yeah, very kind of nutty and chocolatey with that little just kind of coffee kick. It's not a bad cigar. Like I would probably definitely smoke another one of these. I kind of want to try the Torpedo now to see how different that Habano flavor changes things. So the no post credit scene on this, you know, they've it's not a Marvel movie, but after she gets rid of the juice, we get this whole like, I'm, you know, retiring from, and part of it's a dream sequence. We don't know really sure like how much of that is dream sequence, but she's like, yeah, I'm quitting the show. I'm going to spend time with the living. And one of the things, like, you know, her daughter says that, that, you know, her and her father was going to go, they had a plan to go visit all these like haunted places around the world. And you see like them going to visit Dracula's castle and shit. And then she meets a dude who's playing Dracula at the castle, and they get married, and then you see her having a baby, and then, like, plot twist, the baby's the fucking little zombie goddamn Beetlejuice baby, and starts running around the delivery room and whatnot, and then, you know, Lydia wakes up, and she's like, oh, fuck, and then Juice wakes up beside her, and she's like, man, I had a weird dream, and then she, like, wakes up a third time, and it's like, okay, I'm by myself, that was fucking weird. So do you think we're gonna get a fourth, or a third, a Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Oh, fuck, I said it.
I think so.
We get Grandma Lydia and adult,
I don't know
adult
when,
Astra with a
but
child.
I think there's going to be, you know, because overall this is, you know, a success. So.
Or do we get, since the juice doesn't age, do we get, you know, juice now trying to marry Lydia's daughter in a
no,
third
it's,
movie.
It's Juice trying to raise little baby Juice and all the, you know.
Grandpa Juice.
But
I gotta say, Michael Keaton's had like a nice like renaissance lately. I mean, he got to play Batman again. He got to play the Juice again. Yeah, I forgot how much I like him as an actor. He's one of those guys that can do serious shit and comedy shit, and it's like he hits on kind of like all levels of whatever he's doing.
Yeah, it was definitely great to see him, you know, take the helm of Beetlejuice again, and, you know, from what I could tell, looks like he had a great time doing it. I wish there was more Juice, you know.
We need like just a Juice solo film where it's like all Juice all the time. We don't need the human drama. Let's just fucking get a Juice adventure. Or a fucking Juice, like, TV show.
Just him trying to keep the fucking underworld together. Because we got, you know, a good bit of that, you know. But I wanted a lot more.
Yeah, like, I mean, that would be ripe for a straight up like juice like series on one of the streaming services. Just day to day of like, I mean, you could definitely do that as a series where it's like each week is Juice doing a different paranormal, you know, whatever he called it, where he was like, you know, exercising the living, him, you know, going on different adventures to like try to haunt people and shit.
or just, you know, teaming up with what the fuck, I'm gonna say Nightwolf, what the fuck, what's the dude's name? You know, his 80s
yeah, that could, that would be an interesting like buddy cop series.
Yes,
like fucking
you know, almost like the Ghostbusters, you know, they got Slimer and shit, and this guy's like, hey, we're trying to keep the balance of, you know, the lines from blurring between the living and the dead and the
Wolf
two worlds.
Wolf Jackson.
Yeah.
Wolf Jackson and his partner Beetlejuice solving, yes, you know, dead crimes. Like, that would be, like, that, I mean, yeah, that is the ultimate buddy cop story. Like, the hard-nosed detective and then fucking Juice's crazy ass. That could work. Tim Burton, like, listen in, like, definitely, that should
probably
be the next
already
project.
In the works.
I wouldn't doubt it. But that's all we got for you this week. Time to go back to the land of the living, and we'll be right back with some science.
This is Drew Leiter from the Earth Station DCU podcast, inviting you to join us every week for DC news, comic reviews, and more. This summer, we'll be checking out the Netflix series Dead Boy Detectives and the last season of Sweet Tooth. We will also be covering the comic event Absolute Power, as well as the animated Crisis on Infinite Earths event. Don't get left behind. Subscribe to the Earth Station DCU podcast today.
Yes, science! And welcome back. It's time for some science.
Educate me. I'm getting dumb, dude. I don't feel like you've did a science segment. Oh, wait. We haven't done science or news in a while.
Yeah, because we've had a bunch of Dragon Con interviews, which were science-related. But yeah, I've not had to make up shit from finding things on the internet. Well, first magnetic-controlled prosthetic hand allows amputee to move fingers with his mind.
That sounds kind of cool.
We're almost to Darth Vader.
Are you able
levels.
To second guess, though? Because sometimes my mind's like, I should grab this, and it's like, oh, wait, I better not grab that.
Or if you have, like, dirty thoughts in public, and all of a sudden your hand starts, like, making jacking moves, like, hey, stop. Later. We gotta wait till we're done. So yeah, researchers in Italy have unveiled a robotic hand that is magnetically controlled. There's no wires or cables, like previous animatronic hands. So basically these, for people who are kind of recently amputated, who still have some of the, like, you know, whatever, phantom limb syndrome is a thing where you still kind of feel your hand there. And they basically implanted magnets in the muscles that would normally control the hands and fingers that are, like, still there in the kind of forearm area. And so basically, it says there's 20 muscles in the forearm that control hand movement. And, you know, the implanting magnets into those muscles, kind of as you think how you would normally move your hand, those magnetic signals connect to the prosthetic hand, and you know, the internal robotics move it like a normal hand would, just based off the how you would normally control a hand by thinking of you know, activating those muscle groups that would normally move your hand.
I need something like that for my hand and my arm for disc golf. That way, you know, maybe I can improve my accuracy and my distance. Maybe my mind is better than my typical form.
Yeah, they say many people who have lost a hand keep feeling it as if it's still in place. Like I said, phantom limb syndrome. And the residual muscles move in response to commands from the brain, even though the hand is no longer there. So by connecting a robot hand to those signals from those muscles groups, they've been able to work it. And, you know, the guy who's been testing it, a 34-year-old guy, basically not only is he able to control the hand, but he's basically learned how to adjust the pressure. So there's, you know, so he can do things that require fine motor skills, such as opening a jar, closing a zipper, cutting with a knife, and not just, you know, crushing things with his robot hand. He's actually learned how to, you know, adjust the pressure, and handle delicate objects.
Dude, that is awesome.
So, yeah, we're almost to like full, Winter Soldier robot arms.
Jax from Mortal Kombat.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of robots, 45 years ago, the first person ever killed by a robot. Robots have been killing us for 45 years now.
Yet, we still haven't been able to leak them to Skynet.
Yeah, and it was because of Ford as well. January 25th, 1979, Robert Williams became the first person on record to be killed by a robot. He was an employee at a Ford Motor Company casting plant in Flat Rock, Michigan, and basically robots that handled parts retrieval systems and moving the big castings failed to malfunctioned, and he climbed into, I guess, like a storage shelving unit to work on something, and the robot failed to detect his presence and packed some stuff where he was at and squished him, according to legal documents. And apparently it continued to keep working for, well, he lay dead for 30 minutes until fellow workers realized what had happened. Can't stop progress.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And Christine was born?
Yeah. Apparently the family sued and eventually won $10 million in compensation, which at the time was the biggest personal injury award in the state in state history. But also, you know, it's kind of continued to happen in... 2 years after his death, a similar incident happened in Japan when Kinji Urata, 37-year-old worker at the Kawasaki Heavy Industry plant, was killed by a mechanical arm while checking a malfunctioning robot. He reportedly switched the robot on accidentally after leaping over a chain fence safety barrier in the factory. Apparently, there's a whole book if you want to hear about this called "When Robots Kill: Artificial Intelligence Under Criminal Law" by Gabriel Halevy. Apparently, the robot erroneously identified the employee as a threat to its mission and calculated the most efficient way to eliminate the threat was to push the worker into an adjacent machinery. So, fucking robot arms. Imagine what happens when we connect those robot arms to robot legs and now they can chase you down and squish you.
God. That's it. Creating a little... miniature EMP.
Well, now we're kind of going back in time because...
Are we going to watch Beetlejuice again?
Sure. Well, the world's largest wind-powered cargo ship makes transatlantic voyage to the U.S. So, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, first... I'm like, yeah, that kind of... Isn't that how we used to do it? Just wind-powered cargo ships? But now we're going back to that technology, but on a giant scale. This is like the largest wind-powered cargo ship. Made its maiden voyage loaded with cargo hold full of fancy wine and jam.
Hmm.
The sailing vessel...
You take the jam, I'll take the wine.
Anemos launched its maiden voyage on August 16th from Port Le Havre, North France, headed toward New York for the company Transoceanic Wind Transport. The company who designed the boat. Hey, the ship carried nearly 1,000 pallets of alcohol, including wine and cognac. Hell yeah. As well as jam and French luxury swimwear.
Luxury swimwear.
Yep, shipped on behalf of a French liquor company. That they are producers of Absolut Vodka, Jameson Irish Whiskey, Beefeater Gin, and Kahlua. The ship is 280 feet long, 42 feet high, making it the biggest wind-powered cargo ship of its kind in use today. Even larger than the T-Clipper ships used to transport cargo across the world in the 18th century. But yeah, basically these things will reduce greenhouse emissions by up to 90% compared to the current container ships we are using. And also slash the amount of toxic air pollutants.
Well, here's hoping.
Yep, they're planning to put out a whole fleet of these things and see how they do. And in other news, Tetris now helps you reduce PTSD.
I feel like Tetris gives me PTSD. Am I that terrible?
In a study specifically for healthcare workers, they say the mental rotation of Tetris is what's been helpful in this treatment, which included playing 20 minutes of Tetris, has been shown to reduce the severity of post-traumatic stress symptoms for up to 6 months in healthcare workers. They say the researchers believe that the mental rotation, whereby players visualize falling blocks from different angles, may interfere with the intrusive visual memories and disrupt traumatic flashbacks.
I guess I just need to get better at Tetris. Because feel like after a certain point, mental anguish is what Tetris causes me.
So maybe you just got to play it less. In the study, they only did it for 20 minutes. They didn't play it for like hours. And it said it showed to reduce intrusive memories by 62% in those in the study. Research have demonstrated similar benefits among Swedish healthcare professionals who experienced work-related trauma during the COVID-19 pandemic. Participants played the game just once, yet experienced improvements that persisted for half a year. Yeah, I would say probably too, because, I don't know, it's like, Tetris is one of those that it's not so... it's repetitive in nature, so it kind of like I don't have to think real hard about it, but it's hard enough that I can't think about other things while I'm... You have to pay attention, but not like... I don't have to think about it. It's not like playing Call of Duty or something where I'm having to like, you know, think and react to things. It's just fucking blocks. So I got to figure out how to rotate them and drop them in a hole. So it's not overly complicated thought, but it's complicated enough that I don't have time to think about other things while it's like, you know, kind of like...
That one distraction and I'm like... My thing was the timing of the rotations, because I'd always like, it's about to land, I'm going to rotate it last minute, oh, fuck.
And as you fuck up, it gets faster, and the fucking Russian music gets faster, and you're like, oh, fuck, yeah, so like, you start getting to the higher levels, it may get a little more stressful, but yeah.
I can remember, like, Dr. Mario, you know, being stressful as shit.
Yeah, because, I mean... when I'm trying to, like, shut my brain off at the end of the day and go to bed, it's, like, it's kind of helpful to play something that doesn't require, like, a fucking Candy Crush, something like that doesn't require a whole lot of, like, active thought. It's, like, this is just a mind-numbing task that's I can kind of do on autopilot, but it's entertaining enough that I have to think about it a little bit, but not, like, to the point where I'm now wide awake and I'm, like, you know, stressed out about something completely different. So... I can see where like I do kind of repetitive tasks to kind of calm down at the end of the day. So I could see where this, it's kind of interesting that this is also has that other effect of, you know, helping PTSD, that, you know, instead of it's just me trying to calm my brain so I go to sleep, it's people that's trying to like block out traumatic shit. I'm like, it's kind of interesting. So yeah, you know, fucking play more video games for mental health and whatnot.
Yes, finally.
I finally have an excuse. Now I'm gonna go kill Bolivians and that's been my task lately. Going back and playing fucking Ghost Recon Wildlands. So I got some time. I'm gonna kill some Bolivians. Oh, but that's all I got for you this week. Let's see what we have for some news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to this rendition of Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
Up first is we've got the trailer for the John Wick spinoff, Ballerina. This will be coming from Liongate Studios, and this is the first trailer. And dude, this shit just looks fucking phenomenal.
The fucking Wick is back.
Yeah.
I suppose this is set between the second and third, or third and fourth movie. So timeline wise, yeah, if you've seen the last John Wick movie, he's still alive. Not that he's actually dead, because I don't believe any of that shit, since we've already got another movie scheduled.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's, it's almost a cop-out at this point to be like, you know what? We've still got a lot more money we want to make, so this isn't going to be a sequel. This is going to take place prior to what you just watched.
Yeah, the midquels yes, are a big thing these days.
But, dude, this thing looks, you know, fucking amazing. So like you said, this will take place between John Wick and John 4. This will be on a young female assassin who will be our primary focus, who seeks revenge against the people who killed her family. I just gotta say, link to the trailer, fucking watch the trailer. I cannot wait for this shit to come out.
Yeah, fuck yes. It's yeah, I'm sold on this one. I've liked all those John Wick movies so far, and even though it's not full John Wick, I like that world. You know, of course, you know, it looks like it has all the Winstons there. You know, John makes an appearance at some point, looks like. Yeah, it's
just welcome to the Continental.
I just still haven't seen that series, because I don't have whatever Paramount or whatever streaming service on. But
I've had it, and then I've canceled it, and like, it's just too many.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I don't want to, like, I'm just going to sign up for the free preview, because then I'll forget to cancel it, and I'll be paying for that shit for 6 months. And yeah. Like, oh yeah, I still got fucking Paramount.
That's how it is for me. All right, well, speaking of other badassery, it's spooky season. I are both fucking horror nerds, so there is a trailer for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 50th anniversary.
So they're re-releasing the original, or
pretty much
coming back to theaters.
So I guess the movie was digitally restored back in 2014 for the 40th anniversary, and for its big 50th, it'll be re-released in theaters again October this year. Me personally, I haven't seen this in theaters. You know, I've
yeah, because it came out in the early 74.
Yeah, it's always so, been VHS or DVD for me.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see that. I saw the remake in the big screen, but that's the only like Texas Chainsaw I've seen like on a big screen. Everything else has been home video. So yeah, it'd be interesting to go back and see the OG.
Yeah, so I guess they're going to tweak, you know, some of the verbiage and stuff like that. So, you know, the opening credits will now say 50 years ago, five youths on a weekend getaway in the Texas countryside fell prey to a butcher in a mask made of human skin and his cannibalistic family, and horror cinema would never be the same.
I've seen Ed Gein's tooth.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, there's a crime museum up in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, and they have a whole like serial killer section, and they had one of Ed Gein's teeth. They also had John Wayne Gacy's clown suit.
So, I don't know. You know, I'm wondering if seeing this on the big screen, because it's always funny to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre to people, because everybody always recalls, you know, the original being so much more gory than what it actually is. And I mean, that's
just a lot of the gore is like just background stuff, like the creepy props and shit that are.
Well,
that are
I mean,
in the
like
thing.
Where. You know, the remakes, yes, very much focused on the gore and stuff like that. But, you know, Hooper, like, right before the big gory, the camera would cut. So it's really your psyche being like, oh, it was bloody, it was disgusting. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, no, that's my mind playing trick. Like, just his genius.
Yeah, because a lot of them are like either quick hits and someone's immediately pulled off screen. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's not as... Like, you see, like, body parts and shit laying everywhere. But, yeah, it's not as bloody gory as, like, some of the sequels and stuff have been. Yeah, it's, you know, like, most people die pretty quickly. And then it's just the main chick, you know, trying to, you know, run away through most of them. Yeah, it's very psychological at times.
Where, I mean, like, you know, the crazy thing is Hooper did that intentionally just because when Texas Chainsaw Massacre was originally released, he wanted a PG rating. He did not want, you know... the R rating, but, you know.
And nowadays, it's like, if it doesn't get an R rating, people...
exactly.
If a horror movie is
like,
not an R, I'm not wasting my time on that shit.
So, Dark Sky will also release this in a 4K version in theaters October 1st for
so
the
really
fall.
Really get to see
and,
the sticky.
Yeah, like, you know, there'll be a link to the official site with theater locations, all that good jazz, but...
You can see the actual... The one thing that made me laugh rewatching it was the scene where they're at the dinner table and strapping her to a chair that has actual severed arms on the chair. And I'm like, they made a literal armchair. Yeah.
Well, I heard, like, you know... I don't know. I've read Gunnar Henson's book that he wrote, you know, talking about it. You know, I mean... The temperatures were so hot and the food so rotten that, you know, a lot of the reaction...
Everyone's literally gagging.
Is literally gagging and choking and stuff because of, you know, the smell of rotted meat and food and everything else that they're sitting around. Keep it in line with spooky season. Hulu is on board doing a little horror comedy called Carved... about a vengeful killer pumpkin. So,
this is not your great pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah. This will just be, you know, fun, bloody carnage, I guess is the only way to put this. So, the synopsis is when a heartbroken teenage playwright and her younger brother and a desperate group of survivors become trapped in a historical reenactment village on Halloween night. They must band together to survive the relentless assault by a sentient and vengeful pumpkin. The movie is directed by Justin Harding. It's based on a short film of the same name, which he also wrote and directed for a short program for Huluween Film Fest.
Huluween.
Yeah. Harding wrote the script with writer Cheryl Meyer. No actors or actresses that I recognize, but this will be on Hulu Monday, October 21st. So if you're looking for, you know, something a little different.
Speaking of which, if you're a participant in the 31 Days of Halloween, where you watch a different horror movie every day of October, you can Google this and find it. I saw a list released of... the 31 days of Halloween movies based on what streaming service you have. So there was a list of Netflix only movies, a list of Hulu only movies, a list of Prime only movies, HBO, yada, yada, yada. So if you Google, if you're like, I don't have X, Y, and Z service, someone has done the homework and released a specific list of here's 31 movies you can watch on your chosen platform. if you want to participate in the 31 days of Halloween, which I'm behind. I ain't watched shit yet, so I gotta. It's gonna be like the 25 days of Halloween for me.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, we've watched enough horror that we could cover, you know, several years of.
Yeah, I should bring up that list and to see like how many of them I've actually watched. See if there's anything I've
missed. What's amazing to me is how much it's out there that I've never heard of, you know, to check out.
Yeah, you can always find random ass horror movies that, because I mean, so many of them fly under the radar, and there's so many I've picked up from just watching.
Stay away from Korean horror. Yeah, it'll leave you disturbed.
Yeah, like the original, like Grudge,
or Zombiever.
Zombie. Stoner zombies. I mean,
what was it? Oh, maybe it was Stoner Zombies. Is that the one where they're little shit?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I know there was the one we watched with the butt zombies that, like, it was like a fucking tapeworm parasite thing that was, and like this monster would come out of people's asses and try to kill people.
I forgot what that one was. Probably zombie ass or something like
Might
that.
Might have been, but yeah, it was one of those weird Korean horror movies. But yeah, I've picked up so many from watching the kill count videos of, like, I've not seen that, but that looks cool. I need to see the whole thing now. That, like, I've found so much good just random horror from watching James A. Janisse and his crew. They've been doing like VHS movies recently, like that kind of anthology horror series, and those look pretty good. I may have to check that out. If that's all you got for us this week, check us out.
Oh, you got I'm not more? Done you got yet.
Oh, we sidetracked. I thought we were done.
No.
What else you got?
A new trailer for a Starship Troopers VR game, Continuum. This will be set 25 years after the original movie.
So this is separate from the Starship Troopers games that's about to come out?
Correct. This will be a VR sort of exclusive. Casper Van Dien reprised his role as Johnny Rico, which is set 25 years after the Battle of... Kondatu in the original film. In the game, the war between the Federation and the Arachnid is deadlocked, but planet Janus 4 holds a secret threat.
Janus 4? What?
Yeah. Janus 4? Janus? I don't remember.
Janus 4.
Anyway, holds a secret that threatens to tip the balance of the war, the Continuum. You will take the role as a Psi Commander and experiment with advanced psychotic powers, including control troopers, rank them up, and try to keep them alive, promote them to citizenship for big bonuses, and advance your own powers faster and add psychic perks to your build to perfect your perfect trooper. The game
for bringing Jedi to Starship Troopers.
Sort of, kind of. You know, this will be a three-player online squad-based combat. So, you know, some of the standalone VR games I really enjoy. Playing other games in VR, like, it's a little cumbersome, you know, sometimes. Like,
I've not played any VR, but there's definitely a lot of horror-based games that have popped up on VR from the looks of it that look fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one that... essentially is a zombie kill, you know, type game. But I mean, literally, like, you got to grip the pistol, pull it out of the holster, rack the slide, you empty bullets, you got to slap in a new mag. And, you know, like, the issue is like, you'll be like trying to do a thing in life, but like the game, like, when it glitches, it's like, oh, fuck me. Like, I don't know, you know, I mean, if you're big into Starship Troopers and stuff, might definitely be something to check out. Link to the trailer in, you know, the website, wherever. All the shit that Joe typically posts.
Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
Well, to find those links, go to CigarNerdsPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOnetwork.com. You can find us on X, Facebook, and Twitter, Facebook, at CigarNerdPod. And we're on the YouTube at CigarNerdPodcast. Get your shirts at realmensmokecigars.com. Get your energy drinks at strikeforceenergy.com. Promo code CigarNerds. And with that, like DeCosfi said, later, fuckers. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.